Almost 9 minutes past eight, and a bill to legalise assisted dying will be brought before the House of Lords next month. If approved, the law would allow doctors to prescribe a lethal dose of drugs to patients with less than 6 months to live. It's a law that would have allowed Alison Davis from Millbourne St Andrew to take her own life if it had been in place in the late 1980s. Back then, Alison, who had spina bifida, was in such pain that she wanted to die. She was expected to live for a few months.
I decided that I wanted to die. It was a settled wish. It lasted about 10 years. And during the first 5 of those years, I tried to end my life very seriously several times. And I was only saved because my friends found me in time and had me taken to the hospital. And I was treated against my will, and I was very annoyed then, although now I'm very grateful. At that time, the doctors thought my life expectancy was very short. Obviously, they were very wrong, because here I am, nearly 25 years later and still alive.
Well, Alison died before Christmas last year. By then, she'd become a prominent campaigner against assisted suicide. Colin Hart was Alison's full-time carer for almost 25 years, and he joins me in the studio now. Colin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve.
And it's the first time we've spoken since Alison's death, so my condolences. She sounds like an amazing woman.
She was. Absolutely extraordinary, yes.
It's an interesting one, this, because, as I said in the introduction there, she would have ticked all the boxes, fulfilled all the criteria to have been able to take her own life legally if this bill is passed. And yet, she survived for 25 years and, from what you've told me, had a fulfilling 25 years.
Yes. I mean, she had continued difficulties and, in fact, her health got worse. But she found a meaning and a purpose in life. And I think that's what's lacking out of the whole debate. I mean, it's, so much of it has been medicalised. It's been put in terms of people who are either terminally ill or perhaps chronically disabled. But in fact, there are many people up and down the country, many more people who want to die, who don't have those conditions. And we say to them, we will help you to live. We don't allow them to die. And yet we take a different view, a prejudicial view, if somebody has a terminal illness or a disability.
Can you tell me how the doctors could have been so wrong? How she had a life expectancy, as she just told us, of a few months, and yet managed to survive for decades?
Doctors are often wrong, and this is not a unique instance whatsoever. I mean, this bill is supposed to be modelled on what happens at a moment in Oregon, where they had a law that changed in 1997. And one of the notable campaigners for that law was a woman called Jeanette Hall. She supported it. And in the year 2000, she had cancer. She was given only a few months to live. She went to her doctor because she wanted to take advantage of that law and have her life ended. Now, that doctor was not in favour of assisted suicide and gave her encouragement to live. And she's still alive alive today. Mm-hmm. And she is glad that she is alive. And she now opposes that law in Oregon. Doctors are not gods. They make mistakes. Medicine is not an exact science. And I think we have a duty of care for vulnerable people, such as Alison was and Jeanette Hall was, so that we don't allow them to make what is a fatal decision.
How worried are you by this bill?
Extremely worried. I mean, Alison, in her final years, was very worried about going into hospital because she was aware that because of the discussion on this issue, there was a change in attitudes, and she feared for her own safety even without such a bill being enacted. And if society does change, then it will become a judgment that people like her would be better off dead.
And that's one of the things that we hear quite often from people who campaign against assisted suicide or assisted dying, is that it will put pressure on the vulnerable to consider taking their own lives, whereas previously, because it was illegal, they wouldn't have felt that pressure.
Well, it already does. I think we've had really a pretty misleading propaganda campaign in favour of this. And I mean, for example, there was a very well publicised case of a doctor, Dr. Ann Turner, who took her life, and the BBC followed her, taking her life, did a documentary when she went over to Zurich and her life was ended there. Then they did a drama documentary. And watching that documentary, there was a woman called Angela Harrison who was 44 years of age. She had multiple sclerosis. She had had difficulties for a while and had thought of ending her life. But in the days up to that documentary, she was planning to go on holiday. She was looking into going it. But she took her life after watching that documentary. And I think every time that this is aired, it's part of a propaganda machine that makes people question the value of their lives and their status in society. And I think we are really, really being offensive to those people by the way that we're raising this issue.
The counterpoint to this is that people can control so much about their own lives. They can control, you know, little things, what they wear, what they eat, how they live. Why not allow them to control how they die?
Well, as you say, what they control are the little things. I mean, like how they live or what they wear, what they eat. This is such a drastic step. And the thing is, we have a public policy in this country against suicide. If I were to want to end my life, I would be restrained. I would be sectioned if need be. And yet we have a schizophrenic attitude, I think, towards people who are able-bodied and then those who may have a chronic disability or a terminal illness when we make a judgment that actually their lives don't have the same value, the same status. And I think that if this law is passed, then it will just reinforce that.
We're going to talk to Lord Faulkner after 8 this morning. I wonder if there's anything that you'd specifically like me to put to him.
I would like you to ask him whether he believes that people who are dying naturally in hospices and in their homes up and down the country, the vast majority of people, there would be hundreds more, even if this bill is passed, who are dying naturally. Ask him whether he believes that they die with dignity. We have a mantra that has developed now about dying with dignity. And as soon as you say somebody wants to die with dignity, it's applauded and it's presented as though the only way that you can die with dignity is to be killed. And I think that we have to hit that on the head and to recognise what is happening by good doctors in hospices and out of hospices and help people to live with dignity until they die naturally with dignity. That's what Alison wanted. And I think that would be a positive thing that I would rather Lord Faulkner was promoting rather than this bill which only advocates death.
And as I say, you cared for Alison for the best part of 25 years and you travelled, she lived a full life. You must miss her dreadfully.
I miss her dreadfully. I mean, the last few years were very, very difficult. At times, especially last in the year before, I longed just to get a break from time to time. But I can honestly say the last 6 months without her have been much harder than anything I ever had in the last few years. I miss her dreadfully.
Well, I really appreciate you coming in and sharing her story and yours with us this morning. Really good to see you.
Okay, thank you.
Colin Hart from Neil Warren St Andrew on BBC Radio 7's Breakfast in Dorset. If you've got any thoughts about that story, by the way, feel free to get in touch. 0345 900 1038, our phone number 81333 to text, but start your message with the word Dorset.